following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Get in the zone.
AutoZone is making it even easier to help you save money. Starting now, we're giving you free cash just for getting the things you need for your car. That's right. We've got over 20 different ways for you to earn $10 each by mailing rebate after purchase. The more products you buy, the more free cash you get. See store for restrictions and details. But hurry. AutoZone can't give away free cash forever. So start saving today at AutoZone. Parts are just part of what we do.
Get in the zone.
AutoZone.
The Make Room for Savings event is on now at the Home Depot, with our best values of the summer for any project and every room. Like instant savings of up to $750 on appliance purchases of $497 or more. That could make a lot more features than you thought possible. It's a great time to make room for savings, going on now. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Offer valid through August 15th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Dear Lord, the battle we go through life.
Dear Lord, the battle we go through life.
We ask for a chance is fair.
We ask for a chance is fair.
Chance to equal our strife.
Chance
to do it there.
Chance to do it there.
He's got the touchdown. It's the touchdown for Corey Schlesinger.
We should win.
We should win.
Let it be by the cold.
Let it be by the cold.
Faith in the honor held high.
Faith in the honor held high.
We should lose.
We should lose.
Stand by the road.
Let's stand by the road.
Cheers, the winners go by.
Cheers, the winners go by.
Oh, man, woman, and child, I never thought I would live this long to see this kind of a football.
The snap is down. The kick is up. The kick is
get
on
there.
Its way. The kick is good.
We gotta go out there and smash people. Put them on their ass, you know. Smash mouth football. That's the way we play. That's the way we've been taught.
The clock shows a minute and 55 seconds. Two shots to go 2 yards. Jeff Kinney in the top of the eye. Taggy, the quarterback, calls his count at the line of scrimmage. Taking a long count. There he gives to Kinney. Kinney over the left side. Touchdown! 74 yards on that drive, and Nebraska forges into the lead.
To Burkhead right up the middle, drives, he's in, out, Nebraska, Rex Burkhead, rams in there for 6 points.
And the bottom line for Nebraska is this, it always has been and it always will be about winning championships. Anything less is frankly unacceptable.
The snap to Tommy and the give on the trap play, and it's Schlesinger inside the five, in there for the touchdown, he's got the touchdown, it's the touchdown for Corey Schlesinger. It is history, 13-0, and bring that trophy back to Lincoln.
Keeper for Martinez up the middle. He's got a first down. There he goes. 40, 50, 40, 30. Nobody's going to catch Taylor Martinez. An 80-yard scamper. His third rushing touchdown of the day.
If we go out there and play 60 minutes of the hardest football we know how, they're going to lay down.
Bell lost the ball. And the Cornhuskers scoop it up, and it's Rude. Touchdown. Here's a reverse. Now back to the quarterback. Enderle gets hit, brought down. Jared Crick sniffed that play out and sacks Enderle all the way back at the 11-yard line.
In offense, baby, you just do what you do best. There's nobody, and I mean nobody, runs the ball like you guys do.
There's the handoff to Roy Hill. He's got the midfield. Roy bursting through. 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Third rushing touchdown of the day.
Rozier turns, he's running back around the field, he's trying to get away, he's looking for blockers, he turns upfield, he's going to run a touchdown!
We're Nebraska, baby.
26 seconds left, quarterback Taylor, back to pass, he looks into the end zone, fade pattern, purify, near side, leaps, he catches it, touchdown Nebraska!
Here's Wiley's kick, gets high, it holds up there, Rogers takes the ball at the 30, he's hit and got away, back upfield to the 35, to the 40, he's in the 45, he's in the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, to the 20, to the 10, he's all the way home! Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that, put him in the aisle! Johnny the Jet Rogers just tore them loose from their shoes!
Grant Mahoney to try to tie it up, snap, and they're going to fake it! They throw it out in the flat, it's intercepted by Nebraska, and the Huskers have won! Eric Haig, not
that survived in overtime in aim.
And an option to the right, Tommy on the keep, turns the corner, 25-30. Eludes a tackle, 35. Tommy Frazier, 37, 38, 39, 40, 45, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. He's going to go. Holy cow. Touchdown, Tommy Frazier.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. So much to get to today. That's why I brought in my man, Jim Langan, to help me get through it all, co-host of the program today. You've seen him as your favorite official on the sidelines or on the court or coaching your kids or just out and about spreading justice to all that is here. And Carl Tesmer is going to join us from Hastings St. Cecilia for our high school preview. We're also going to be chatting with Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network. They were at Husker practice last night. We'll get his impressions of where they are. Jeff Erickson, RotoWire, senior editor. It's fantasy football time, folks. So if you've got a fantasy football question for Jeff, email or Facebook the program. The email address, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. It has not changed, and it is the Dent Popper inbox, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Plus, here in just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk with Brad Wagner, Kearney Little League coach, and Jim, your love of baseball among many sports, but it might not have been their cleanest game, but it was for 5-3. I thought they dominated the game, and they gave up a three-run home run, and sometimes that gets you in trouble, but they win, and they're in tomorrow's final.
Yeah, what an exciting win for them, you know. I mean, the first three innings, all the runs were scored. It was really a very quick game, the fourth, fifth, and sixth inning. I think there was a couple catcher interference calls,
yeah,
and maybe one single late, and a kid, you know, tried to go to third base, and maybe not at a wise time in the game, but, you know, what a big win at 5-3.
Yeah, sometimes we're coaching all the time. You're coaching all the time. So by the time you get up to the high school level, the mistakes are minimal. And you saw that a couple of times last night. Kearney made a couple of mistakes running. Chopper to third. They come home in the first inning, get thrown out at the plate. Then obviously the big one for Missouri. They get a kid on second with nobody out. And that mammoth kid, 5'10", 220, was the first baseman from Missouri. And if he ever got a hold of a fastball, I'm not sure that it wouldn't have crossed all that parking lot, all that street, and went out past the houses out there, but it didn't, and Kearney made a nice play when the kid tried to get over to third, and just a perfect throw down to third.
Yeah, they really played well, and you know, they looked real confident. We have a very exciting game with that South Dakota team.
And Coach Brad Wagner does join us this morning from Indianapolis. Coach, again, congratulations, and the Kearney Little League back in the finals. Your thoughts, and how's everything going today?
Well, everything's great. You know, kids are riding high, enjoying the limelight. Right now, they're all on go-karts. Of course, it's Indy. You got to go go-karting when you're here. So if I can keep them all from killing each other, we should have a full 13-team kid roster tomorrow. But they're ecstatic. You know, Blake Quintana gets number 9 on the top 10 plays of his diving play that first inning. You just can't ask for a better script written by anybody in Hollywood, that's for sure.
Also, I wanted to ask you, did it storm there overnight?
Yeah, actually, they hustled us off the field. I was actually kind of playing to the weather a little bit. I bunted Cole Staub, who's my number 5 hitter, when we were down a run because the weather report was we were going to get rain within 15 to 20 minutes. There's a big hailstorm, nasty thunderstorm coming, so I was trying to get a runner to second and then let our one of our hottest hitters come up behind him and see if we could knock him in. Things worked out anyway. But, yeah, they hustled us off the field, threw the tarp on the field, which they added this year. They added a tarp, didn't have it last year. And, yeah, then it rained most of the night. But the tarp took care of, no issues with the field now. Everything should be good to go. But everybody was laughing, you know, with us last year with the situation, us getting rained out in the finals, all the people that help, all the volunteers kept coming over saying, oh, don't let this happen again to you guys. Come on, guys, score some runs. So it was a happy ending to the deal, obviously.
Brad, Jim Langan co-hosting with me today on the Doug and Daddy Show, and I know he's got a question or two for you.
Hey, Brad, a nice win last night. Really a good win. I enjoyed watching all the kids that I've seen and when I umpired them and stuff. And I just wanted to let you know that really enjoy this experience. You know, when I coached all these years, and I'm 30-some, in fact, and you just don't realize the impact you have on people until it's way after the fact. So really enjoy this experience.
Oh, yeah, it's been great, Jim. I know, you know, it's something that the kids will never forget as far as the experience itself, and I know I'll never forget. I tell everybody I can. I thought I would teach them all something, but actually they teach me something, you know, how to have fun, how to just take it for what it is. It's a game. It's not brain surgery. We're not saving lives. We're not doing anything, you know, out there too special, just playing ball, you know, having fun at a game. And that's what they've been so good at, is they, you know, they're just the quiet confidence. That's been our motto, and they've stuck to it. You know, they're not showy, they're not showboats, they're not cocky. They get the job done, and they're having a ball doing it. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, they definitely were gracious winners. I mean, you know, as soon as they won, they were very happy to win, but they went right over there and shook hands and did the things that we try to teach. So I was very impressed with that, too. How's the pitching in the innings? I know they've changed that to how many pitches you can throw. How are you doing the pitching right now? Are you in good shape?
Yeah, we're in real good shape. The only one we can't throw is Blake. But otherwise, we've got the whole stable full. We're looking at Matt Masker starting for us tomorrow. He hasn't given up. I don't think he's given up a hit. I don't have that stat for sure, but I don't think he's given up a hit. I know he hasn't given up a run. His ERA is zero. He's mainly thrown relief, but when he has, he throws it pretty much where I ask him to, inside, outside, up or down, and a pretty good breaking ball. You know, none of our kids throw as hard as Blake. Blake's probably, well, I take that back. Thad can probably hit 70 miles an hour, Thad Huber. But, you know, our kids just hit spots. That'll be a fireballer. He's probably second up, followed by maybe Jared Wagner. It would be our third pitcher in this game if we need him, if we have to go that deep. So we're set. I got lots of options. Start with Matt, kind of see how the game goes, and see what South Dakota looks like at the plate, and then decide there whether I want a fireballer or I want somebody that can pick their spot. So we're good.
Sure,
good
Brett. Shape. Hey, Brett, how about South Dakota's pitching? Do you know? I mean, I'm sure you do, but what's their situation like?
Well, they've got a left-hander who threw 20 pitches against us in that first game, and we didn't get on him too bad. We hit the ball. He didn't strike a lot of kids out, from what I remember, but he throws pretty hard. He's got a curveball, and he also throws what they call a football changeout. They have the ball kind of like a football, and it looks like you're throwing it hard, and it just comes sliding out of there. Hopefully, he'll hang a couple of those, and we'll see if we can put him in the stands. But they're good. He's a good pitcher, and I know they got another kid, a shortstop, who used to be their ace, has had some arm pain, and so they've been kind of holding him down in innings, and he's looked good against some of the other teams. You know, it'll just be – this game will come down to one or two plays. You know, it'll be a defensive mistake or a base-running mistake, kind of like Missouri had last night. You know, that kid stole third, and I would bet everything I got that he did that on his own. I don't think his coach meant for him to do that. He saw an opportunity, tried to take it, and got thrown out. And that was kind of a momentum killer for them. So something like that happens tomorrow, I think you'll see that be the difference. Somebody drops a fly ball, somebody misses the ground or something along those lines. Because I think otherwise both teams are going to, you know, the good hitters are going to hit, the pitchers are going to throw strikes, and it's just going to come down to something very simple, I would think.
Yeah, hopefully it's not an umpire call.
Oh, man.
No doubt.
I'm holding off on that for just a minute. This is the team that got up on you. Of any of the games that you've played, and I realize we had a three-run home run last night, but that's a one-run. South Dakota jumped on you guys the last time, and you were able to rally with a big inning of your own. What happened that allowed them to get off to the first inning lead, which you have been doing in every other game?
Well, we had an error, you know, which again we gave them an extra out, and that always hurts. And they just hit the ball, you know. They got on a couple pitches where we left it out over the plate versus staying inside or outside. And if you do that against them, they're gonna hit it. I mean, they're that good a team. That's why they're in the finals. You make a mistake, they punish you. They've got a couple kids. I think three different kids that are hitting the ball really good for them, and they're kind of all through their order. They're not all bunched up, and so you might get it out for the number three hitter, but then you got to face the number four guy, and he's been pounding the ball. They just, you know, they do things right. They play good defense. They're not going to probably make too many mistakes. If we get one out of them in the field, you know, that would be a lot. They're pretty solid. They all seem pretty confident. They look a lot like us. You know, that's what everybody around here said, is both you guys just carry yourselves like you expected to be here. You knew you were going to be here. You know, again, quiet confidence on their side and on ours, and it's just going to be one little thing. That's all it's going to take.
Brad Wagner, just for another minute here, the Kearney Little League coach. Tomorrow's game, 1 o'clock on ESPN television. How did you think the kids handled everything, the non-baseball stuff, the television stuff, the being on TV? How were their nerves last night?
Well, they were loose. I mean, they were in the dugout. You know, I thought maybe I'd see a bunch of kids standing there like soldiers, you know, not saying anything, rigid. But they were goofing around, and I was trying to joke with them. We had the bat throwing incident, which I just thought, oh man, don't be chucking a bat over the fence. Are you kidding me? So, you know, to them, it was just a ball game. And I tried to preach that at the beginning, and they took it to heart. I said, hey, just imagine those cameras are just those three guys watching you. You know, don't worry about what's behind the camera. Don't worry about the guy running around. You go out and play baseball. It's 46-foot pitching and 60-foot base paths, and away we go. And they took it in stride. You know, obviously afterwards, they were a bunch of squirrels in the dorm room. They wanted to see themselves on TV. And, I mean, it was classic. There's a lot of classic moments. But they're handling it well, probably better than their coaches are.
Jimmy Langan, Doug Duda here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jimmy, I used to do a lot of baseball, and on the umpiring side of things, you still are. The poor guy last night took one early in the game, and I think it affected his brain. The sportsmanship is just outstanding, but you have to tell me how you guys bite your tongues when it's just so inconsistent behind the plate like it was last night, and for both teams.
The only thing I can say about this is, I mean, there's travel teams that play baseball at that level. And it seems to me the Little League umpire's home plate strike zone is always bigger than you'd think it would be. Anything close is a strike.
Yeah,
and even definitely. Even maybe the way the game ended last night, that might not have been a strike. You know what I mean? I mean, they called it a strike, and we got out of there. You know, but that might, you know, it's kind of a pitch that you're thinking, boy, I'm glad I got that one. You know, but that happens a lot, and it happened last year to us. We had a 3-2 count where a kid fouled off about 7 pitches. We should have been rewarded for looking at ball 4, and they called a pitch that was up. So, I mean, you know, and that's, you know, that's my take of it, and I'm trying to be as fair as I can in judging that, but it seems like it's a huge strike zone.
How about you, Brad? How do you guys handle that? How do the kids handle that?
The big thing here, they preach the sportsmanship. I mean, you're actually, the umpires are staying in the complex too, and so you see them all the time. You kind of get to know them a little bit. And I just, you know, I'm just not a yeller. I don't like to get on the umpires because I don't think it does you any good. You know, why yell at a guy who, he's trying to do his best. The other thing you got to realize with these Little League umpires is they're being graded on every single game. There's a guy there that grades them, and they're trying to grade high enough to get into the championship game. If they don't do well, they don't get to do the championship game, and obviously the most coveted spot is behind the plate in this game tomorrow. And so they're under a ton of pressure. You kind of feel for them because we've had a few guys that you could tell they made the wrong call, and they knew it was going to cost them dearly, and it did. You don't see them. We haven't seen them in any of our games since. So it's a different deal than travel ball. Those guys are just out there trying to make a buck. These guys are doing this for free. They do their, it's everything they spend is on their own dime. And so, you know, you just don't feel like they're out there just wasting your time. They're out there trying to do their best, and you give them that break. And all in all, they've been pretty good. But, yeah, last night's zone went up and down a little bit. A few times there was some stuff at the shins. And then that last pitch of the game, I would have to agree, it looked like it might have been a little inside from where I was sitting. But, you know, there was a few that went against us, a few that went against them. And it's all about sportsmanship. That's what's so great about Little League, is just the mentality of that organization to just, you know, push that whole thing. The kids learn so much from it. And that's why Little League's great. That's what I love about it.
Hey, Brad, you know, there were two catcher interference calls. Now, he got both those right. You know, and those aren't easy to call. So, I mean, you know, so I agree with you. You know, I think sometimes we do look at the one or two things that we're upset with and don't realize there's a couple times. I think there was a foul ball. It might have been in the South Dakota game that went off somebody's foot. And they got that right, too. You know what I mean? And they had to come in and changed it and had a little conversation. But when they showed replay, you know, they did get it correct. So I agree with you, too. I think sometimes we do look at one or two calls that go against us and remember those. So.
Especially when you have a fan. You have a room full of fans like we had many of those here in Kearney and across the state. Brad, I'll let you out of here with this because I know if it hasn't been asked of you out there already or by the national crew, it will be. What do you say to the folks that when they bring up no Nebraska team's ever been to Williamsport? What's your answer to that?
Well, we're going to do everything we can to change that. You know, it's there's been a lot of good teams that have come before us. It's kind of paved the way, especially last year's team. And, you know, I think this team's got a shot. It's one game, so anything can happen. But we've kind of got all the pieces. You know, when one kid doesn't have the big game, some other kid steps up and does. So I'm feeling pretty confident. I think this is a team that's definitely got the look that they could take it to Williamsport. And, you know, it's been a heck of a ride. Whatever does happen, couldn't be prouder of him, and I definitely couldn't feel more special to be involved in it. There's no doubt about that. We're going to give it everything we got, and watch out. Here we come.
Hey, Brad, I hope things work out for you, but I'll tell you one thing. I will tell you this. You did do a great job getting your pitching set up, and really as a coach, that's all you can really do is keep track of the innings. You know, I'm kidding. Now it's not the innings, but how many pitchers are thrown. But you did that, and you've got it set up with your pitching, and that's all you can do. So, hey, whatever the chips fell, good luck to you, and we're all proud of you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
All right, Brad, we'll be watching tomorrow. We're going to try and get Jordan Burroughs a gold medal. He wrestles here in just a little over an hour for the gold medal. Trevell Delognev goes tomorrow. We've got all that's going on with the Olympics. We've got the Little Leaguers. And, Brad, hopefully we can talk to a Midwest regional champion in yourself next week.
That sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Have a great time. Good job. Brad Wagner joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Kearney Little League coach. 1 o'clock coverage tomorrow, ESPN television. They were on ESPN2 last night. They'll be on ESPN tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So there you go. And referencing Jordan Burroughs, some of this stuff is just hard to keep up with, but Burroughs comes back in the last moments of his semifinal match against two-time world champion Denis Sargash of Russia and wins to get into the gold medal match, which according to my calculations here is at 12:45 Central Time. It is supposed to be on NBC Sports Network, so if you got Charter, that's 29. You can also go online to NBCOlympics.com. So hopefully he's going to face Iran's Sadegh Gudarzi. Gudarzi. Is that Italian or is that Iranian? But it's Iranian. He defeated him in last year's World Championship Finals, has a win over him earlier this year at the World Cup. He was second at the last two World Championships, so he's going to be going for a big one against Jordan Burroughs, who has beaten him before. And then Trevell Delognev begins tomorrow morning just after 7 o'clock, maybe 7:30 for his first match. If he does wrestle for the gold, it would be right before 2 o'clock Central Time.
Doug, I'm amazed you knew all that without even having to look at a piece of paper. That is absolutely amazing. I didn't know you knew that much about that other wrestler.
Got to keep these guys in line. Got to keep these guys in line. Folks, if you're out and about and you're trying to get things done and you're running around chasing kids, you're doing school shopping because school starts next week, oh, I'm so sorry for you people. But stop in for a quick lunch or evening meal anytime at Big Daly's Deli in Hastings or Kearney. Two locations in Hastings at 801 West 2nd and 610 East South. And if you're in Kearney, it's on top of the hill at 3905 North 2nd Avenue, home of a bazillion sandwiches. There's something on there for everyone in the family. Make it a quick stop. You can get it to go. It's always good. You can get some cookies, you can get a salad, some soup, fruit cup, drinks. It's all there for you. And you get to put on whatever toppings you want. So good. Big Daly's Deli, Kearney and Hastings. Jim Langan with me, co-hosting today on the Doug and Daddy Show. Howard Griffith of the Big Ten Network joins us here in our next segment. Then Jeff Erickson, RotoWire senior editor, fantasy football at 11:45, followed by Carl Tesmer, Hastings St. Cecilia head football coach. Whew, it's all going on. Most of the leaders at the PGA have yet to tee off, but we'll tell you how they're doing when we come back. Stay with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show in the Midway Auto Dealership Broadcast Booth.
I didn't know school buses use Goodyear tires.
Well, Goodyears have superior handling, so the buses can maneuver through just about anything with all those kids.
Then with my Goodyear tires, I've got superior handling while driving my kids around.
Just because your dog's riding car seats does not make them kids.
Guys, he didn't mean that.
Receive up to $80 off with mail-in rebate when you buy four select Goodyear tires between July 1st, 2012 and August 31st, 2012. Certain conditions and restrictions apply. See retailer for complete details. Goodyear, more driven.
Sending money to a college student with Western Union feels. Winning $10,000, now that feels. Be automatically entered for a chance to win $10,000 when you send money across town or within the U.S. for as little as $5 from participating agent locations or WesternUnion.com. Western Union, moving money for better.
No purchase necessary. Subject to official rules at WesternUnion.com/scholarsweeps. Excludes transfers to inmate commissary accounts. Void where prohibited. Sweepstakes ends 10-7-2012.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation is online all the time with not only our local live Doug and Danny show and local games, but now the national ESPN shows like Mike and Mike, The Herd, and more. Just click on the Listen Live link at ESPNSuperstation.com. Take us along on your mobile phone as well. Just download the TuneIn Radio app and make us a favorite. Oh, yeah. We're on your radio, too. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550.
Sunny to partly cloudy skies develop across the area today with a high temperature of 86 as east winds stay from 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies and a low at 58. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 70.
Doug and Danny show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where they're rooting for all of the folks at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. They want to see more join them as number one in what they do. They want to see Jordan Burroughs be number one. They want to see Travell Dolagnev be number one. They want to see the Kearney Little League be number one because they know the hard work it takes to be number one. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac is your number one volume Chevy dealer in Central Nebraska, and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram is your number one volume Size A dealer in the entire Midwest. Check out their online vehicle showroom at thinkmidway.com and check out everything on their lot, whether it's new or pre-owned. They will take care of you. You're getting the kids off to college. They'll help you out. Simple credit approval process. You can even fill out a form online. Midway, it's a better way. thinkmidway.com. You can like them on Facebook for special promotions all the time at thinkmidway.com. The Midway Auto Dealerships, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. United States men play this afternoon against Argentina in the semifinals. You got volleyball tomorrow at 12:30 for the gold. You've got the women playing for the gold. You had the exciting, I'm going to say it, exciting soccer yesterday. I know I poke fun at that every once in a while, but I did watch all of it yesterday. And if soccer, the biggest fan that we have is Scott Steinbrook, Kearney soccer coach, Coach Jensen over at Grand Island, all the folks involved with soccer, and I get it. But I told Coach Steinbrook yesterday, I said, if soccer was always like that, then I could watch more of it. Because that was go, go, go the whole time. United States came out, used all their adrenaline. Japan came back, some amazing saves. You're playing for the gold, and they played like they were playing for the gold yesterday, Jimmy.
Yeah, what was exciting, you know. I mean, I'll tell you what, when you watch the Olympics, I go back when I was 1968 when I was just watching it. You know, that's how I got my world geography lessons, you know, basically, you know. In fact, at that age, I was always any communist country I was hoping would lose, you know what I mean? I mean, that's basically how it was. But, yeah, now you kind of look at it a little different when you get older and, you know, each individual athlete. The ones I like are the ones that show a little sportsmanship, too, after they win, you know. And, I mean, we're in a different era, let's be honest about it. I mean, you know, the athletes that are now competing in the Olympics are professionals, you know, and Bobby Beamon's, I remember Bobby Beamon's long jump when he went 29.2 and a half. No one even jumped 28 foot, and he just bypassed the 27.10, and no one jumped 28. And what, you know, 1960, I remember that, and I was hooked on the Olympics at that time from then on. And you know, Jamaica going 1-2-3 in the 200, you know, the United States going 1-2 in the decathlon. You know, I mean, there's been some really exciting things. I watched a badminton game between a guy from Malaysia and China. And there wasn't a whole lot of sportsmanship there, but I thought, I didn't know anybody could play badminton like that. Unbelievable.
Well, last night after the Little League Baseball game, they put on there's platform diving. There's so many swimming events. People say, well, that's how China wins all their, you know, all this swimming and diving. But this young lady from China, I mean, you're at the top of your game, and they're off the platform. They said it was like a three-story. Was that 30 meters? I forget what.
Yeah, I'm not jumping off that. But I was a little kid. I got on the high diving board, and you look down there, and you're going, hold it. Now I'm just going to come climbing down the ladder.
But she was so far ahead of the other people at the most elite level in the world. Her dives were always 9.5s. And even though these other great diving athletes were at 8 and 8.5, she's blown them away by 35 points after three jumps, an insurmountable lead, unless you, which I didn't see. I got told about this somewhere earlier in the week. One of the guys was doing the old flip pike position. He lost his leg and he went in back first, you know, not the cannonball, but the reverse, and the medics jumped in. They said it was the first zero dive in Olympic history.
Is that right?
And I got to YouTube that or something. I got to find it because I haven't seen it yet.
I'm glad I did not watch that one. I'll tell you that.
That would hurt. Hey, folks, let's talk a little Husker football here and Big Ten football. Our TNL Husker recruiting report, because Nebraska has landed a couple of recruits here. An offensive lineman, Zach Hannon. That happened on Wednesday night. 6'5", 300-pounder out of Rockhurst, Missouri. Then as Sean Callahan of Husker Online told us on today's Big Red report, kind of out of nowhere, Nebraska gets their 14th oral commit out of Spanish Fort, Alabama. Kid that had an offer to go to Alabama, corner Jonathan Cook, 6', 185-pounder, 3-star, and he hasn't even been to Lincoln yet, but he's been sold on the program and he wants to come up to Lincoln. And that's part of our TNL Husker recruiting report, brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems. Choosing the right recruit for Nebraska sometimes can be a difficult decision, but choosing your pivot system, well, with TNL, the choice is simple. And looking at the current group of Huskers, yesterday in Lincoln, Howard Griffith of the Big Ten Network joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan here on ESPN Radio. Howard, thanks for the time. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, guys. How about you all?
Well, we're doing great. And, you know, anytime we can find out the outsider's opinion on Husker football, that seems to put a little levity to the whole situation. You got to see Big Ten Media Days. You got to be around the Huskers and everybody else. Then yesterday, I'm sure you guys got the full tour once again. What, first off, stuck out to you about your trip yesterday?
Well, I think just the shape these guys are in. I remember going back, seeing them last year and then seeing them again this spring. They really put a lot of work in the offseason. I know they've tweaked a couple of things in their offseason conditioning program, and it seems to at least appear that it's really worked, because this looks like a well-oiled machine and a team that's going to be in shape and ready to go.
This is the second year in the Big Ten. Everybody expected to be some growing pains last year. I'm not so sure that Husker fan expected there to be so many growing pains. In hindsight, what did Nebraska miss, or what did we just not consider going into a new conference playing somebody new every week?
Well, I think it was just that inexperience that not only the players had, but also the coaching staff. I think they'll tell you to a man that when you don't have the experience playing against a style of opponent, it's difficult to really prepare for them. It's difficult to just prepare off of film. It's nothing like actually being out there and understanding what down and distances are going to be played against certain teams and what type of defensive teams are going to come at you. So now that they have that under their belt, you know, this should be a much better second year around. You expect to have a big growth from them, not only with the coaches, but also with the players.
What would your advice be when the Huskers, I mean, because let's just face it, this is the second year, so all the schools that came into Lincoln, it's still going to be new for Nebraska going on the road. What's the advice that you would give the Husker staff and players this year when they go to a place they've never been?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things, they still have an understanding of the teams that they're playing. When you look at the Big Ten schedule, they're just flipping, as you mentioned. They're going to the places that came to them last year, so you know, I think they'll have that experience and they'll have a better understanding of the opponent. And I think that's critical. And I think they'll be well on their way when you look at the talent that they have on this roster.
Howard Griffith of the Big Ten Network joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, BTN.com. Check out their entire tour of the Big Ten Conference. Carl Pelini gone. This young staff, it's only the fifth year for Bo. They've had some tremendous turnover over the last couple of years. I think they like what they have now and want to settle it down. But did you get any feel of what John Papuchis and his new defensive staff will be doing that might have been different than what Carl and Bo did when they first moved in?
Well, I think it's tough to see. Obviously, when we talk to them, they want to be a more aggressive attacking defense, and that's going to be key for them. You never can underestimate a team and a coaching staff that really was wounded last year when you look at the defensive side of the football. So they've got egos. They want to get back on top and start playing, the historical black shirt defense. So, I expect them to be better. I think when you look at some of the players that they have, the veterans that they have at the linebacker position, and Fisher, Compton, and Whaley, I think those are three outstanding linebackers that will be able to run. And Whaley's going to make a lot of plays for this team this year.
I think we are taking for granted Rex Burkhead a little bit here because he has played since his freshman season, but the nation is recognizing him. Almost everybody has him and Monte Ball as the top two running backs in the conference. I'd like to know if you agree. Yesterday, second team preseason All-American from Sports Illustrated, two on the first team, two on the second team, so they consider him one of the top four backs in the country.
Yeah, well, no question. Rex Burkhead, what he's able to do and it really is a tribute to his work ethic, the way he's business. We talk about a player with a skill set. He can get outside, he can run inside, get the tough yards. I really like to watch him because he runs with such low body length. And, it's low to the ground, center of gravity is low. So when he gets hit, he bounces off guys and he keeps those legs driving. And I think that's one of the things that really makes him an elite back because there's no question he is. I've been around a lot of elite.
Howard Griffith of the Big Ten Network. He's on the road, so he's on his cell phone, breaking up just a little bit there. But, Howard, if you're still with us, Nebraska fans concerned. I'm concerned about the defense. Nebraska fans concerned is always about Taylor Martinez. But if you're going to make a jump, I would assume it's between your sophomore. Well, we've lost Howard. We'll try and re-up with Howard there. But we were told that that's exactly what was happening. They were going to be traveling on the bus. But Taylor Martinez is still always going to be the topic here, and he still can't get hurt. That's going to be the biggest thing. That's the thing I think could derail this football team. I think that's the only thing that could derail this football team offensively.
Yeah, Nebraska's in a situation. Last year, for the first time probably, we go down to Wisconsin, and it kind of snowballed on us.
Yeah,
the game snowballed. And, we're thinking, okay, can that happen again? And we go to Michigan, and it kind of got away from us again. And then actually when we played South Carolina, it happened. You know what I mean? So we had three of those. Nebraska fans aren't used to that. I mean, even the Nebraska players aren't used to that. I mean, when we went to Texas, we were kind of a big underdog, but the game went down to the last play.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of games. We played Penn State. I mean, we held on to win 17-14. We've had some games, and Northwestern comes into town, and this wasn't a fluke. I mean, they outplayed us that day. You got game in and game out. You just got to get up and be prepared. And, we're gonna have a game or two where maybe we aren't going to compete well, and you just want to hope that you can steal the win,
Well, we've re-upped with Howard, and I was just saying Nebraska fans are still going to be concerned about Taylor Martinez. How much better do you think he'll be here in his third year? I don't have that concern. I keep telling him I'm more worried about the defense than anything Taylor's going to do. I think he's going to have an outstanding year. Are you getting any kind of a vibe that he's going to make a big leap?
Yeah, it depends on what you want that leap to be. Do you want him to all of a sudden be a 75% completion-type quarterback? I mean, if that's your goal, I think it's pretty unrealistic because that's not really who he is. That's not what this offense needs him to do. I mean, he is a dynamic runner. When you think about having him and Burkhead in the backfield at the same time, I mean, how many teams can really think that, they'd be able to slow him down? So for me, it's really about playing strong defense and being able to control his line of scrimmage. I think Rex will be just fine. He'll complete the passes he needs to, but I think if people are looking for him to be this, this great, all of a sudden be this great pass because he's done all this work in the offseason, I don't think that's realistic.
Howard, Nebraska fans, they always get it down to brass tacks, too. Do you think that they are the favorite in the Legends Division? Are they third behind Michigan and Michigan State? Just your personal opinion on Nebraska this year.
I think right now I haven't seen Michigan and haven't seen Michigan State. Here's what I know. When I look at Michigan State, I know they have some, they have a new quarterback. They have some guys that, they're going to have to insert a wide receiver to be able to make some plays. You look at Michigan. Can they keep Denard Robinson healthy? Can they find some guys out on the flank? I think ultimately it's going to come down to whether or not Nebraska can stay consistent. I think if you can look at this stat, look at what they're doing on first down and how successful they are, because if they're successful on first down, I think this is going to be a team that's going to be tough to beat. I think they're sitting in a great position because not many people are going to be expecting a lot of them as far as being in that championship game, and I think they're going to be able to really make some big plays. I think Brett Maher is really going to be a huge key to this team, because defensively I think they'll be a lot better, and I think there'll be some games that are close, and he'll be able to win it or change field position in special teams. So I think they'll be right there in the thick of things. I know a greater appreciation for where I think the team can finish this year after seeing them over the last 2 days.
Hey, I think that's a good point. This is Jim Langan about Maher. He's from Kearney, but that's where our program's located out of. And I'll tell you what, you're exactly right. His punting was amazing last year. Field goal, very pressure field goal kicker for first year out. And we had many games that it looked to me like they're going to go down to the wire.
Oh, without a doubt. And I think that's one of the things. If anything that's being overlooked, it's special teams when you talk about Nebraska football. I think when you look at the depth that they have at linebacker now, with some of the younger linebackers, you look at the depth that they have at defensive back. These are all guys that are going to end up being on their special teams. Really, the punt team, kickoff team, kick return, those are all critical special teams that you need to be on. And the athletes that they have, the young athletes that they have that are going to have a chance to play on those units are athletic. And can be difference makers, and they're going to be special players in the future in Nebraska football.
You're exactly right. I think sometimes we're unrealistic in Nebraska.
Sometimes.
We've got road games, at Northwestern. We've got to go to Ohio State. Any road game that we have at Michigan State, those people aren't going to be ready for us again. We talk about Northwestern because they beat us. You know what I mean? So we want to get some revenge right there. But, to think that those are automatic wins is amazing. It's going to come down to the kicking game. If we can stay close, sometimes you just got to compete and try to get it down to one play.
Well, I think one of the things when you look at it, we talked a little bit about that secondary and how talented they are. Northwestern is a game that's a perfect example. We talk about Northwestern coming in and out rushing Nebraska. Did anybody think that was going to happen? I didn't. I thought they'd be able to move the ball. Northwestern, they'd be able to move the football. But the way they played that game, they had to be embarrassed with the effort that happened in that particular game. I'm talking about Nebraska. So, there are a lot of games that now all of a sudden, it's a play here, a play there. I played for, some coaches that always talk about 5 to 4 plays. They would change the outcome of the game. And I think when you go back and you look at, what happened to Nebraska football last year, you'll find those games that, you had a tip passes, could have ended up being an interception. Maybe if the receiver had cut his route off, the ball would have been high. Plays like that change the outcomes of games. And I think Nebraska is going to be in some tight games this year, but I think, again, as we talked about, the special teams is going to be huge for them.
Yeah, we got a huge break last year in the Ohio State game when their quarterback got hurt and fumbled the ball. And then the momentum of that game, it just switched so fast. It was amazing. And like you said, it was actually one play. But then after that, the momentum switched, and it was all Nebraska then.
And that's the one thing that about the Big Ten, Howard, that we've learned. I know when Husker fans were in the Big 12, they always thought it was tougher than the Big Ten. I think they now realize that the Big Ten – each and every week was going to be way more competitive than the Big 12 ever was. And we don't want to keep you on for too much longer, so just another minute here. When the analysts are sitting there talking about Nebraska and their first year, and maybe not even on television, when you guys are just kicking it around a little bit, what's the real thought of what Nebraska at least accomplished or brought to the conference or something you didn't expect in that first year maybe?
Well, I don't know if there were things that we didn't expect. I'll tell you what Nebraska brings to the conference. A historical rich program. When you think about all the things that they've been able to accomplish, I think what's ultimately going to happen and what's going to take Nebraska is continue to move them not only, to the top of the heap in the Big Ten, but also back onto the national scene is going to be recruiting. And that's one thing that I was really impressed with when I saw yesterday and the last 2 days, really, was these defensive linemen that they brought in, the tackles and the defensive ends, are going to be stars. When you look at Armstrong at the quarterback position, these guys are going to be stars. Frost, the running back, I mean, there are players on this roster right now that are true freshmen that look like they could play on anybody's roster in the Big Ten. So they're going to have some players into the future, but I think recruiting, it's the lifeblood of any organization, any program, and I think they're well on their way with this recruiting class that they signed last year that's in camp. Very impressive group. It looks like they're off to another outstanding start looking for the 2013 class.
Last question, Howard. Did you get any good nuggets from Coach Pelini yesterday?
You know, of course you're not going to get too much out of Coach Pelini. If he can get some smiles, that's great. But, you know, I think he's just excited really about his football team. And, you know, I think they're just keeping their fingers crossed. You know, they've obviously, this is the second year around. They're expecting more growth. But they feel like they have more leadership on this team than they've had before. You know, some people have used the word, everybody has bought in. I mean, these are his guys now. Those seniors are guys that he brought in, and they feel good about them. And I think one of the experiences that they had over the spring, when they had a chance to spend some time with the Navy SEALs, I think that really brought this team closer together. And I think at the end of the year, when this team has some success, when they look back on what happened even in the offseason, I think they'll point to the time they spent with those Navy SEALs is one of the things that really brought this team together and made them who they are.
Well, Howard, where are you headed today?
We are on the way to Minnesota. So we'll get up there. It's probably, a seven-hour drive. So we're just hanging out on the bus, getting prepped for, you know, Minnesota and Northwestern, and ready to watch some more practice tomorrow afternoon.
All right, Howard, we appreciate it. We'll continue to keep up with you guys on the BTN, the Big Ten Network. Enjoy the season. Hopefully we'll get to chat again soon.
Okay, sounds good, guys. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Take care.
Thank you.
Howard Griffith on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, and you'll be able to check all that out on the BTN Network real quick, like yesterday, today, as they are looking at Nebraska. Some good points there about the Big Red, and that's what makes this sport so fun. Makes it so much fun. Also, we've just had coming down from Husker Online, and Trent, who follows this on the email here, former Auburn corner Jonathan Rose has decided to transfer to Nebraska. A former four-star corner, played as a true freshman at Auburn, but will sit out this year and have 3 years of eligibility left, so put him on to the class of next year. So that's three kids in the last 36 hours here that Nebraska has picked up, and that's our TNL recruiting report. TNL system provides a safe, hassle-free, and reliable hydrostatically powered pivot for continuous movement and even water distribution. Find out how easy the choice is yourself by contacting your nearest TNL dealer or by going online at tlirr.com. TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works. Let's hope these kids all work out for the Big Red, Jimmy.
Yeah. It's nice when you just have somebody from Auburn or Alabama comes to Lincoln. You know, you feel like you just stole something. So that's good.
Hey, we need to take a break, folks, because we answer fantasy football questions with Jeff Erickson of RotoWire, and we still have to come Coach Carl Tesmer of St. Cecilia back after this.
Whoa, it's one of those storm tracker vehicles.
And it looks like he's got Goodyear tires for superior handling in challenging weather.
Well, it's a good thing we both got Goodyears in conditions like these.
True, but we're in a car wash.
Hear that? Storm's getting worse.
That's just the hot wax.
Receive up to $80 off with mail-in rebate when you buy four select Goodyear tires between July 1st, 2012 and August 31st, 2012. Certain conditions and restrictions apply. See retailer for complete details. Goodyear, more driven.
Hey, man, just want to say thanks for helping me move.
Whoa, are you giving me a thank you present?
What? Guys don't give guys thank you presents. These are just the new loaded cheddar and bacon potato skin ruffles. They taste like actual delicious potato skins, melted cheese and all.
So they're not a thank you present?
Of course not. Wait, are you crying?
No. It's just the nicest non-thank you present I've ever gotten.
Ruffles. Snack like you mean it.
There are happy hours, and then there are HK happy hours. Hi, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I want to personally invite you to take advantage of the best happy hours around. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you get a buck off all long necks. Thursdays, it's $1.50 pints. Fridays, all drinks are half price from 3 to 6. And on Saturdays, tackle our $2.50 24-ounce big cans of beer. On Sundays, it's 11 buck 100-ounce towers and 12 buck buckets. And remember, text HKVIP to 90210 for even better direct-to-you VIP offers and monthly gift card drawings.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny to partly cloudy skies develop across the area today with a high temperature of 86 as east winds stay from 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies and a low at 58. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 70.
Oh, the show's just rolling along. Looks like Burrow's match will not be televised live. Maybe tape delay around 2:30 if you're watching NBC Sports Network, wrestling for the gold medal. Tervell Dolagnev's bracket is out, and it looks like, as they say, I still don't understand all this stuff that has to do with some of the sports in Olympics, but it's so crazy because for Tervell, any of these wrestlers, the two best guys could wrestle in the first round, and the general fan wouldn't have any idea, but it looks like he'll take on, in the first round, an Egyptian name by the name of Shaban, and if he wins, then he faces the defending world champion Shemirov from Belarus. So he may not even get into the medal round. It looks like the guy he's got to beat, Tervell Dolagnev, the UNK graduate, will be in the second round. So that's starting tomorrow morning at 7:30. Jordan Burroughs, former Husker, is going for the gold here at about 12:45. And again, you can watch it online. And then you can celebrate with Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend, with only USDA Choice certified Angus beef. All their quality steaks are aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. And don't forget, fresh brats right out of the smokehouse. Try the bell pepper onion brat for a little something different this weekend. There's always a large selection of fresh and smoked sausage. Maybe you want to get some seafood. Get the baked beans. Get the bacon for the BLTs. They've got it all. Carrie and the gang, they take care of you at Troutman's Quality Meats. Doug Duda, Jim Langan. It's good stuff, ain't it, Jimmy?
Yes, it is.
My mouth is just watering right now thinking about it. I have just found out that I will be doing 3 fantasy football drafts in 4 nights at the end of this month, and my head will be spinning, and so I need to get started now, as I know a lot of folks do. I've already heard a couple of drafts going on out there. Jeff Erickson returns, senior editor of rotowire.com, back with us on the Doug and Daddy Show to start off another season. Jeff, thanks so much for the time. How are we doing?
Doug, great to talk to you again. I know football season's right around the corner because I'm hearing from all my radio peeps that I talk to are in the football season, trying to structure all my set all my draft schedule. And, you know, it's tougher now. I've got 2 kids. I'm coaching their soccer teams. You know, my lockout days are growing, so it's tough. You know, I do so many leagues, but it's fun. It's exciting. We've seen our first set of preseason games last night, so things are happening.
Okay, if like me, I've looked at the RotoWire rankings. I've looked at a couple of other things. I've went through the magazine, but I haven't sat down and started to do anything yet. If we're just starting to open our eyes to this year's fantasy football leagues, what's the first couple of things people need to be aware of?
They need to be able to find out where everybody's gone, what's happened, all the changes that have happened. You know, find out who's where. Vincent Jackson's down in Tampa. You know, whether it's a magazine, whether it's you get on your favorite website, you know, I hope you want to check out RotoWire, but, you know, there's other ones out there too. But, you know, you need to find out where everybody is. Then when you find out what your leagues are in, you need to make sure you know if there's any changes to your league rules. Make sure that you know whether it's a PPR league or not. That's a points per reception league. Make sure you know how many players are starting at each position, because things, you know, sometimes your league changes. Maybe you're joining a new league. That's the most important variable, is the league parameters.
As we get ready to take a look at for a while there, we changed from not wanting to take the quarterbacks to taking the running backs with that first selection. Now maybe it's switching back the other way. What's your opinion on your first pick? I mean, are you looking at the number one running back like an Arian Foster, or are you looking to go after a guy like Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I think it does depend a little bit on where you're drafting in that first round. Arian Foster is still my first overall pick. I'll say that this is a year that there's, you know, I think a lot more chaos in the first round. Not just in who goes first, but also like the back end of the first round, who fits in. We've already seen Ryan Matthews get hurt yesterday. That he was going to be my number six guy. Now he's out 4 to 6 weeks with a broken clavicle. Who knows when he'll be ready to go again? Trent Richardson was looking like he was going to be a guy that I'd be taking at the end of the first round. Now he may not be ready for the start of the season with his knee injury. So, you know, we're already starting to see some news that's going to affect our rankings, and we're going to have to be able to be a little fluid with that. But it is a different era right now. I mean, it is a passing league. There's fewer workhorse backs. So I think the few workhorse backs that are out there puts a premium on them. But it also means that if you don't get one of those guys, you need to be more open about either taking a quarterback or receiver, being a little bit more flexible.
Let's get it out there right now so that everybody thinks they're smart. Who's got the most – who's the guy that is going to make the biggest jump? Well, maybe last year was a fourth or fifth round pick, and this year he's going to go in the first round. And who's fallen off you don't maybe want to touch outside of injuries?
You know what? Frank Gore is a guy I don't want to touch this year because not only is there the fear of injury, but there's also a big fear of just that there's three other guys in this backfield. They signed Brandon Jacobs this offseason. They drafted LaMichael James. It's a crowded backfield, and, you know, he's hitting that magic age. Michael Turner's another guy that's falling quite a bit. On the flip side, some guys that are rising. Look for guys that are getting more playing time chances there. Rookies like Doug Martin in Tampa Bay is another guy I'm paying attention to. This is just at the running back position. You know, there's going to be a lot of fluidity there. You're going to worry about guys, you know, getting hurt, holding out. You want to pay attention to the three remaining holdouts. Maurice Jones-Drew looks like the most intractable of the three with Jacksonville. I don't see him coming back anytime soon. They're saying that they don't think there'll be a contract resolution until maybe right before the start of the season. Could be like Chris Johnson last year. Could be worse. So watch out for that one. The other two are Dwayne Bowe in Kansas City and Mike Wallace in Pittsburgh. Got to watch out for those two, too.
Jeff Erickson with rotowire.com. If you've got a question for Jeff, always email or Facebook us. The email, of course, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. This comes from Tyler in Kearney. Is Tom Brady really the second best choice at quarterback?
It's either him or Breeze. I think they're pretty much a 50-50 call there. Brady got another weapon in the offseason with Brandon Lloyd signing with them. They throw the ball a ton. We know that. There's no issues with the coaching staff, so you could say that he's a little bit more stable than Breeze right now. Remember, no Sean Payton the entire year this year for the Saints. So that's a pretty big issue. You know, it's the guy that built the car. So what if the car breaks down and they can't call in their usual mechanic? They have to call someone else to fix that car. So, you know, I think that Breeze is, you know, good enough on his own right that it won't be a catastrophic drop or anything, but there is that risk factor. So, yeah, I'd probably take Brady over Breeze.
I was going to say, just your thoughts. Do you just stay away from every Saint, or do you
go ahead and take
some of them?
I don't think it's going to be a total fall off the earth or anything like that. I think it's just a mild downgrade from what we expected. I'm going to go after Jimmy Graham aggressively. I'm going to go after Marcus Colston. You know, the running back situation, Darren Sproles is great in points per reception leagues. Ingram's a guy that I thought might be a good bounce back potential, but he's already hurt again this year. So, you know, I don't know. It's tough. I believe in the talent. I don't know about how the role's going to work. And, you know, they still got Pierre Thomas, too. They have a lot of talent. It's just a question of how they're going to get that to fit. And that's always been the thing about the Saints. You look at them, you know, other than their Graham and Colston, the other options in that receiving game, I mean, someone's going to get it, but it's going to be someone different every week. It might be Lance Moore, might be someone else.
Are tight ends going to be overvalued this year after the production that we saw from quite a few of them last year?
I think that tight ends, I think you're going to see the top two go maybe earlier than I'm comfortable doing when I'm trying to build my team. I did a mock draft back in late April, early May. We did it for the magazine. And I took Rob Gronkowski in the second round. Mm-hmm. Kind of wanted to do it as a way to see how it affect building my team. And I felt like I was chasing the rest of the way. That I was trying to chase running backs. I was trying to chase wide receivers. Now, I don't mind chasing running backs. I think that, you know, in this day and age in the NFL, if you don't get one of the workhorse running backs, don't reach up to get the next one just because he's the next one. You know, if there will be guys that emerge on the waiver wire, and if the running game is diminished,
then you might as well diminish it as a priority in your draft. So I tried that. You know, but there's a rich pool of guys from 3 to 10, too, that I'm pretty comfortable with. And there's another set of guys I think that are interesting sleepers, a guy like Kyle Rudolph in Minnesota. You could wait forever and grab this guy. And I think he has a lot of upwards mobility. Now, there's a lot bigger risk with him because he's unproven, his quarterback's unproven, but there's a lot of talent there. But, yeah, tight ends, that seems like a big trend in the NFL right now, is to have, you know, use it more and in some cases use two of them.
Guys coming off injuries, most notably Jamaal Charles, who I put the curse on last year by taking in the first round, and Kansas City is trying to build around him. Just right off Jamaal Charles, who a lot of people have is obviously still one of their top 10 running backs.
Yeah, you know, he's right about 10 for me. He's probably end of the second round, beginning of the third round for me, if I can wait that long. But it's not just him, too. It's Adrian Peterson. What do you do with him? Now Ryan Matthews, we've got this issue. I mean, we're already seeing a lot of carnage at the position. So, yeah, it's really, really tough to try to kind of handicap that. But Charles has looked good so far. Keep in mind, it's not just the injury, though, with Charles, too. The fact is they brought in Peyton Hillis, and that might steal some of his goal line carries. Now, granted, we've seen that happen before with Thomas Jones, so it wouldn't be the first time he'd lose goal line carries, yet still be valuable. Charles, when he was healthy before, I mean, he could score from anywhere. Didn't have to get the goal line carries. So there is that. But, yeah, he's definitely one of the more interesting ones, and I want to see a little – that's what, you know, usually the preseason is kind of worthless. Usually you see these, you know, the teams will run through the motions with their starters, especially the first two preseason games, one or two, maybe three series at most. But someone like Jamaal Charles coming back from an injury, yeah, it's important to see how he looks.
Last question from Mark, who says, Mark in Omaha, actually, I did a custom draft list off my league scoring rules, and it spit out Sproles as being rated higher than Foster. How do I approach this advice?
Remember that you're not going to have to take him above Foster, but realize that he has that value. It must be a points per reception league. But the thing is, Foster catches a lot of passes, too. You know what? Maybe if he uses return yards, well, then, boom, you've got a little extra pocket of value, too. Thing is, your league probably notices, if they've been in together for a while, they probably notice which guys kind of have that extra value in your custom league. But what I would say is, bump him up a round. Bump him up a round and a half or two rounds, maybe, than what you would have. And Sproles is probably a fourth or fifth round pick in most leagues. Maybe he's a third round pick in that guy's league.
Well, Jeff, we've ran out of time, but I sure appreciate getting us started here. Hopefully that'll get some other folks started, and we'll be doing it weekly throughout the season with you or a member of the RotoWire staff. And happy drafting, my friend.
Hey, thanks. Good to talk to you again.
Take care. That is Jeff Erickson on the Doug and Daddy Show, and our guest taken care of by our friends at BK. Two locations, Kearney. Also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. Carl Tesmer joins us from St. Cecilia next.
I didn't know school buses use Goodyear tires.
Well, Goodyears have superior handling, so the buses can maneuver through just about anything with all those kids.
Then with my Goodyear tires, I've got superior handling while driving my kids around.
Just because your dog's riding car seats does not make them kids.
Guys, he didn't mean that.
Receive up to $80 off with mail-in rebate when you buy four select Goodyear tires between July 1st, 2012 and August 31st, 2012. Certain conditions and restrictions apply. See retailer for complete details. Goodyear, more driven.
Get in the zone!
AutoZone is making it even easier to help you save money. Starting now, we're giving you free cash just for getting the things you need for your car. That's right. We've got over 20 different ways for you to earn $10 each by mailing rebate after purchase. The more products you buy, the more free cash you get. See store for restrictions and details. But hurry. AutoZone can't give away free cash forever. So start saving today at AutoZone. Parts are just part of what we do.
Get in the zone!
AutoZone.
In a recent study on ingredients in CTS Clinical, typical weight loss results are 21 pounds in 12 weeks. But listen to these real results from real customers.
A year ago, I weighed almost 240 pounds. Thanks to my boss recommending Complete Nutrition, I'm down to a lean 167 pounds, and I'm all muscle.
Start your own weight loss success story with CTS Clinical from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Boardman's off Highway 281, and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Major League Baseball on ESPN Radio.
Kicks, fires, swing, and a ground ball.
It's a National League East showdown.
Pass the diving Cedeno into left field. Here comes Ford. Hayward delivers.
While the Braves are among the leaders in the wild card, the Mets have some ground to make up.
Home run, David Wright.
They look to cut into the deficit this weekend.
Braves and Mets, Saturday and Sunday night on ESPN Radio. Brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Sunday to partly cloudy skies develop across the area today with a high temperature of 86 as east winds stay from 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies and a low at 58. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 70.
Our high school football preview today takes us to Hastings St. Cecilia, where the Blue Hawks just keep churning along. And Coach Carl Tesmer joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Carl, every year there's always a new group of kids, but you've still got a lot of kids coming back from last year's team. The first time in a couple of years that it didn't finish with a state championship, but still a very successful year last year. Where do you see the state of the program as you head into 2012?
Well, we really feel good about things again. We had a lot of starters back. We had seven back on offense and six back on defense. And so, you know, we have a lot of experience back. That always helps. And we have numbers. Good. They're spread out. You know, we have a lot of, like, our seniors and juniors are pretty even, you know, 10 or 11 there for our school our size. That's pretty good. And actually, those kids that we have back have some good size to them and some strength to them and some speed and athletic ability, so we're looking for a good year.
Carl, you've got some kids in there like Xander Schmidt has already getting some notoriety. Start with him and your offensive side of the ball.
Well, he plays quarterback for us. He came in when Hamburg got hurt, and he played two playoff games last year, started there. And what's he do? He sets, he ties a school record for touchdown passes in one game, and actually had another one called back that could have broke it. So, you know, he's an outstanding athlete. He's a baseball player, a basketball player, a football. You know, he does a lot of things, and very competitive, really a tough kid, and a good kid to have at quarterback. And he also plays defense. And so, with all that. That ability to run and throw and that competitiveness, he gives us great leadership at quarterback. And so, you know, we're really thrilled with him. And then, of course, you go with Graffel. He has been our leading tackler 2 years in a row, so we're blessed to have him back, you know, at linebacker, starting linebacker, an all-stater, leading tackler 2 years in a row back, you know, to lead your defense with all that experience. And so that kind of, you know, gets us going. And then Hartford is in there at 220, 6'3", a nice tackle moving to center. And Wynn weighs about 240. He's a good tackle for us. And, you know, he's another senior in there for us, one of those seniors that can play so well up front for us. And so we're looking for those guys to kind of lead the way. And then at I-back, Bruliette comes in there with a lot of speed. He's a little woodhead is what he is. He's just a kid that's not very tall, but he's very, very strong and quick and elusive as a runner, and we look for him to be a good little eye back for us. So out there at split end is Cesar Tino. He led the basketball team in scoring, and granted it's a different sport, but he's so quick and a good receiver. So we've got skill positions covered. We've got some size in the line, and our junior class has really got some outstanding people in it. So, you know, all of that, if we can stay healthy, we think we're going to be, again, very, very good this year.
Hey, Coach, this is Jim Lang. Hey,
Coach, how are you?
Real good.
Hey, gosh, I haven't seen or talked to you forever.
Well, you're going to see me on October, I believe, 12th at St. Cecilia, because I'm going to be on your sideline against Donovan Trumbull. But,
it'll be a big game.
Yeah, it'll be a big game. Hey, I was going to ask you, too. You know, after St. Pat's beat you and Kearney Catholic, you know, went on and went to in the area, and Adams Central's going to be in C1 and stuff, maybe people are going to be looking at maybe not you at the top dog. That's a little different. When was the last time you guys lost a regular season football game?
Well, that's a good question. It just seems to me like maybe up at St. Paul in 2006. So, you know, you kind of, even though it's been a while, it was a 6-0 game up there. I think it was our second game of the year. Rain delayed, and they had a nice team that year, you know, we went up there and we gave it a go, and we got beat 6-0, and so we're kind of not used to losing regular season games, but it does happen, and it will happen, but it's been a while, Jim.
Yeah, that's why I asked that question, because I didn't know when it was, but usually I can remember all the years I've coached. It's just been a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And again, that was it was a hard fought game and a good opponent, and that's the way things go.
Carl Tesmer is with us, the head football coach at Hastings St. Cecilia, on the Doug and Daddy Show, along with Jim Langan co-hosting today. Carl, how do you keep that mental part of the game up? We're talking 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. How do they not become complacent? How does the coaching staff deal with that?
You know, we're blessed. We're just blessed. You know, it's a situation where we have athletes that love the game, love the sport. A little tradition goes with it, a lot of ability on their part. They're good athletes, good athletic ability, and like so many programs in the area, you know, we've got a lot of programs in this area where kids love football and work hard for it and get up every year, and so we're in that situation here also, and that's just the way it works out. But, you know, we're not a lot different. You know, at this time of the year, everybody gets all fired up. But you know, the Kearney Catholics and the Donovans, you know, and the Mindens and Adams Centrals, and you know, at Kearney High over there, you know, just at Grand Island High. I just go on and on. We're blessed. It seemed to be in this area, in the central Nebraska, with a lot of kids that are dedicated to the sport, wanting to do well.
Carl, I agree with that statement. The teams you named, that we are really lucky, and I'll tell you what, the coaches, the good work ethic, you know, the sportsmanship displayed, it's really important to all of us in the central area.
Well, it really is, and you know, and like I said, I hate to leave out people like Ravenna and Blue Hill and people that have been in the finals 2 years in a row or championships, and we've got Sutton on the other side of us here that just gets after it all the time, and like I said, every time you mention something or someone, you forget somebody else, but we are fortunate.
Yeah, and all the eight-man schools in the air, too, yes. So you're exactly right, yes.
Oh, yeah, Giltner over there just doing a great job.
Right.
You know.
There's some kids that could play about any level at any of these schools. Well, Carl, obviously this is going to be brought up a lot. You're going for win number 300 on opening night against Centennial, and when that happens, whether it's opening night or the next night, it is going to happen this season, and what a milestone that is. Congratulations. But talk about handling that. The kids are going to know what's there. The alumni is going to know what's there.
Well, you know, we tried to low-key it. Thanks for bringing it up. But anyway, as far as I know, and I've told them, I said, you know, nothing special. This is just a game. We have so many other things that we try to keep rolling around here. We don't have to worry about that. And that's, I really and truly believe that. You know, quite frankly, I'd rather talk about the fact that my assistant and I, Randy Aarons, have been together for 21 years and figure that one out think about that one for a while. What a great, great assistant I've had, and so fortunate to have him as our defensive coordinator now. These last 8 or 10 years, and so I kind of try to concentrate on some other things. And then the other thing we try to tell everybody is that we try to stay away from personal goals as much as possible, including the coaching staff. So thank you for bringing that up. I it's one of those things that kind of happen. You know, I think that's what happens.
Yeah, Carl,
it kind of happened. You know, you coach and you coach and you coach, and pretty soon something just kind of happens.
Yeah, Carl, you're right, too. But one thing I've noticed just with the interview here, you know, you're giving other people credit, and when you do that, a lot of times that success follows you. So you're blessed.
Well, I've been blessed.
You said. Yes.
I really have in so many ways. Well,
and you talked about Randy's defense, Coach Carl Tesmer, with us here for a last minute. Joel is back on the defensive side of the ball with a lot of other kids. Talk about the defensive side of the ball, which I think more times gets overshadowed. When you see a game that's 56-0 or 35-0, ooh, the offense is the defense is setting things up, and you're going to have another good one.
Well, we really are, and you know, both starting linebackers are back, so that's a good place to start. And we were a little short of depth and size in the defensive line last year, but with Wynn back and Lance Schmidt in there and Chris Hartford in there and Tommy O'Keefe, you know, those are people up front that can really get it done. I think two of our outside linebackers are back there in Schmidt there, and Howell will play back there. And then our corners are, they're not totally experienced, but they're anything but green. And Tino will be back there at free, and Luke Carey's back there. So we've got I really feel our defense, you know, you always talk about defense carrying things, and I feel so much more confident in them just because of what we have back and what we have backing them up. And we've got a good group of kids with size below them that are going to get better. So you know, that defense, again, with Coach is going to be, I think it'll be the key. I really believe that's going to be our strength again. It's funny, you know, you win a state championship with your defense one year, and then you kind of win it with your offense the next year. But back now, you know, we really feel good about our defense once again.
Well, Carl, we'll let you get back to work. We look forward to catching up with you throughout the season. Good luck on opening night against Centennial, and good luck to the Hawks again this year.
See you later, Carl.
We appreciate it. Nice talking with you, Jim. Talk to you later.
Be nice to the officials. See you, Carl.
All right.
Carl Tesmer joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Our high school previews continue with Jeff Tomlin of Grand Island coming up on Monday's program. But Doug Duda, Jim Langan here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You know, I know they had this 37 or 38 game winning streak snapped last year by North Platte St. Pat's, but it is hard to realize. I'm going back to, as we're talking to him there. Not only do they not get beat in a regular season game since 2006, looks like nobody gets into double digits against them. That's how you don't get beat. Nobody scores more than once against them.
Well, you know, they got beat 6-0, and he said it was a rain delay. So you can imagine what the field looked like. You know, when you go out there, and what a great equalizer in high school sports is when, you know, you get bad weather.
Oh.
You know, and hey, St. Paul had some players at that time, too. They had some great players at that time, too. So, I'm, you know, going into that game, I knew there was going to be a dogfight.
Always some good talent, good athletes out there. And the Hawks start at Centennial on the 31st, and that could be – you're going to find out. Centennial's supposed to be a decent football team. And we'll find out. I mean, is that going to be another 42-0, or is it actually going to be a competitive football game? And that might tell you a little bit more. But, man, when we talked to Coach Carlin yesterday and we talked to Coach Tesmer just a moment ago, and they're both ranked third and fourth according to Huskerland Prep in their two respective classes, there's going to be a lot more winning football in Hastings. Hey, let's go to our ESPN poll question for the day. What wide receiver will have the best comeback this season? Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, or Chad Johnson? What do you think, Jimmy? You got Randy with the Niners, you got Terrell signing with Seattle, and you got Chad Johnson. Where's Chad again?
The Dolphins.
The Dolphins, yeah. I forget the Dolphins. I said Randy Moss. 73% of our voters said Randy Moss because he's going to be playing on a good team, I think.
Yeah, how would you know if any of those three? You know, I mean, sometimes they may go the whole game without getting the ball thrown to them, and then I don't know how it's going to go in the locker room afterwards. You know, so, you know.
NBA basketball, that's our poll question for the weekend. Which big three would you rather have now that Dwight Howard, and thank God this thing is over because I was embarrassed that almost the entire Mike and Mike show this morning was about Dwight Howard. They realize not that many people care. We love the Olympic coverage and we love the football coverage. Don't be telling me about one stinking player. He's not even the best player in the league. We're not talking about LeBron James. We're talking about Dwight Howard. I don't even think he's probably not top five players in the league, but he's a difference maker. I get that, but he's not worth four consecutive hours, and this is the first time we've brought it up. Okay, there, I've said my piece.
Well, you know, the Lakers, you know, one thing about it, you know, they've got a guard out there, a point guard. They've got maybe a perimeter player. You know, they've got some insight. I think that's going to be easier to do than what, you know, LeBron had to do. All those guys were out there, and they didn't know who's going to shoot it, their roles. You know, they were all kind of leaders of the team, shooters. You know, what's my new role on this team? I think it's going to be in the Lakers. It's pretty obvious what everybody's supposed to do.
Well, eight players are involved in this trade. The Lakers, of course, getting Dwight Howard, Andrew Bynum to Philadelphia. Denver gets Andre Iguodala. All these guys are over here playing in the Olympics. Pau Gasol right now, who didn't get traded, which is a surprise, is in a ball game right now with the Spain and Russia tied at 46 entering the fourth quarter. The winner of that most likely gets, I mean, if the United States wins, they get the winner of that for the gold medal. But anyway, our poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, that's Miami. Kobe Bryant, Dwight Howard, Steve Nash, that's the Lakers. Who would you rather have on your team? Which three would you rather have, Jimmy?
I take all six of those, and those three guys that went 1, 2, 3 from Jamaica in the 200 meters, and see what we could do.
Well, I'm going to hang on to Miami, and I know that might sound like I don't like the Lakers, which I don't root for the Lakers, although my disdain for the Lakers when it comes to all L.A. and New York sports teams, they're not at the top of the disdain list. I can at least stomach the Lakers, and I know there's a lot of Laker fans out there, but I'll stick with the Miami Heat big three. The Miami Heat big Bosh, I just can't get a read on. But the Miami Heat big three and Nash getting older. Love Steve Nash. I'll stick with the Miami Heat Big Three. You can vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. Folks, registrations are still being accepted for the 6th Annual Elizabeth Stratton Memorial Run, Saturday, August 18th. The 5K Run and Walk Kids 1 Mile Fun Run will be held at Yanny Park. The 5K Run and Walk begins at 8:30. The Fun Run begins at 9:30. Runners and walkers of all ages and abilities are invited to participate in this flat, beautiful route. Flat is a key here. Entry fee is $15, or you can put your whole family in for $50. Deadline to enter is Tuesday the 14th to guarantee a T-shirt. You can go to carneycatholic.org or contact Karen at 440-7993, 440-7993, or go to carneycatholic.org for the Elizabeth Stratton Memorial Run, Saturday, August 18th, beginning at 8:30 in the morning. We hardly had any time just to talk here. Jim Langan with me. We've been talking about the officiating. I know there's going to be some new kickoff rules for the college guys this year. As we get ready for high school, what have they been prepping you guys up, the officials around the state of Nebraska? What's new?
Well, you know, the horse collar tackle, they've explained it a little bit better than what it is. And, you know, if you on the horse collar, the penalty, you know, if you bring a guy and you pull him backwards, you're supposed to call it, or if you pull him sideways. But if you grab the horse collar and then kind of let go and he goes on forward, that's not a penalty. You know, so they've kind of explained that to us on what how they want that called, and they've done a better job earlier. If somebody just grabbed the horse collar, the flag was flying.
Yeah.
You know, onside kick rule, they've changed the onside kick rule. And, you know, before, what you could do is line up and just go, you know, melee in there as much as you can and try to disrupt the kick receiving team. But now you can't do that. The ball has to go 10 yards before you can make contact with anybody. Unless the receivers make contact with you first, then your entire team can make contact. So it's going to be hard to do, and your crew's going to have to get on that and decide what to do. If the helmet comes off, a lost helmet, if it comes off.
Yeah, that's I've read about this. I don't like this.
Yeah, the thing of it is what they're trying to do, they're trying to get coaches and equipment managers, and, you know, most schools, that's going to be your coaches, but to get those things to fit better. So they don't come off because of concussions. They want that thing to be fitted better because, you know, if you have a great athlete out there and the helmet comes off, now he's got to sit out a play. That's the penalty. It's not a 5-yard penalty, it's not a 50-yard. He's got to sit out a play, and you can't buy it. You can't buy a timeout and get him back in. You have to sit out the play, and no one wants anybody to come out and sit out that play. You may need that kid to kick a field goal. That's your only field goal kicker, you know, and that helmet came off. So they're trying to get you to get that equipment in there. And then hurdling, no hurdling at all. The runner, a lot of times in the media makes it. In fact, they'll be on play of the day. Hey, look at this guy. Look at this. He has the ESPN top 10, and he hurdled somebody. Well, in high school sports, the National Federation has came out. They don't want anybody hurdling. A guy can get hurt, and they're saying stopping that, and they've really explained that they want us to call that.
There's going to be some mad people, right?
I don't know what's going to happen.
You're just talking about a helmet flew off. What? He jumped over the guy. What was he supposed to do? He was in the way. What? It's just going to take some learning. What about the onside kick, though, with the fair catch? Now, has that been changed at the high school?
No, they're fine with that. Everything's changed on that where you can make a fair catch on that. That hasn't changed. The one main thing that I think is going to be the easiest one to call, there was a rule that they did change and it needed to be changed, was you have to have 1 foot in bounds to catch a pass. In high school football, if the guy was going to be in bounds and the defender shoved him out of bounds, in previous years, you had to decide. If he was going to come in bounds, then you could go ahead and make it a catch. Now they've got rid of that. The guy's got to have a foot in bounds, and that's a lot easier on the official to call. There's no judgment there. All you have to do is watch that. Once the foot's down, then you got to look to make sure that he continues to hang on to the football. Mm-hmm. So you can change and look at the ball when you're officiating. So,
okay,
yeah.
Well, get me back to the onside kick here. If you drive the ball straight into the ground, then it's all hands on deck, right?
No. If you drive that ball into the ground, you cannot make contact with.
You can't call fair catch either, right?
No.
Okay.
No, you can't call a fair catch, but you cannot, the receiving team cannot be contacted until the ball goes the 10 yards. So a lot of times what you do, I mean, what we did when I was at SEM, not that it was the correct way, but what I did, we just lined up in a ball. all of us. And then we sent all the guys that didn't care what happened to their body first, and they would go flying in there and try to disrupt those guys. And then we'd bring in all the guys with good hands behind them and try to recover it. And we ran that quite often and had some success doing it. But now you can't do
football.
That.
Yeah. It's an important part of football. Yeah. It gives you a chance to think you're still in the game if you're only down 10 points or 13 points in the ball game.
Or if you're just your defense isn't very good and you don't want to give them the ball at all. Yeah, so either way,
Never heard of that before. Also today, the UNK Athletic Hall of Fame has released the five that are going into the Hall of Fame this year. And Janet Pocarney-Betcher, North Loup, Scotia. Now she teaches in Ord. She was in Kennesaw for a while. And she was an outstanding track and field athlete, graduated in 01. Bob Brittamore, who went in 94, track and field and cross country. Randy Cipriano, the basketball team is 79. He's going in. Carla Dovcek, outstanding golfer. She is going in. And Jeff Stensloken, and I hope I got that right, played on the football team in the early 80s. The homecoming ceremonies for UNK are the weekend of September 21st and 22nd. And Darren Erstad signed his contract for $163,000 annually. That was compared to $330,000 for Mike Anderson. But again, Erstad says, I want to give the money to my assistants. I don't need it. I've donated to the university. He made over $50 million when he was playing with the pros. There are no coaches like that around.
There are some that do that, I'm sure, but those people are financially fairly secure.
And the final story of the day, it's not even the final story. Bobby Petrino pops up. He gets an interview with Joe Shad. You're going to be seeing that everywhere along the way. He admits to everything that he has done, and he's hoping to get back into coaching at some point. And the final one for the folks out there, especially when we're talking wrestling a little bit and football, a judge has ordered University of Nebraska at Omaha, UNO, to release records relating to its decision to drop football and wrestling last year. Omaha attorney Mike Degen filed a lawsuit on behalf of 13 student-athletes who were seeking documents through a public records request. UNO, Chancellor John Christensen, and Athletic Director Trev Alberts are named as defendants. The lawsuit contends that UNO set unreasonable conditions for the release of those records, and Douglas County District Court judge agreed in the ruling. She gives UNO 30 days to comply. UNO has not commented this morning as of last check. The whole point is the clients want to know if UNO officials knew they were dropping those programs before signing the kids to national letters of intent, kind of hamstringing them for at least a year. So a bad deal. We'll see. There's going to be some documents that people don't want to have be seen coming out there. So
yeah, interesting, because it happened, I think, right after they were the national champions in wrestling, if I could recall that. It was just immediately right after that. And I know the hockey at UNO would be packing the arenas, and if you ever went to a UNO basketball game, there'd be about 200 or 300 in the sand. So yeah, it's kind of an interesting
Division I ticket. And this comes from the email. Yes, Doug, we all know you hate the Lakers and feel insulted anytime they get attention, but please know that people do indeed care. Yeah, I don't like the Lakers. Forget them. Jimmy, thanks for the time today. Thanks for coming in and being part of the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
We're going to do it again.
Yep, we'll do it again.
Hey, also, just a jam-packed show today. We're two Fridays away from high school football, which is just unbelievable, as the 10 days of August just have flown by here. And we want to thank all the folks that make the show possible. If you miss any of our interviews, no matter who it's with, go to our podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and The Loft in the Courtyard at ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. Today we talked with Kearney Little League coach Brad Wagner, Hastings St. Cecilia football coach Carl Tesmer, Jeff Erickson, senior editor of RotoWire with fantasy football, and Howard Griffin of the Big Ten Network. They were at Husker Camp last night, and we got his impressions of the Big Red. Among our guests on Monday, Minnesota starting quarterback Marquise Gray, maybe the most underrated athlete in all of the Big Ten Conference. High school football chat with Jeff Tomlin of Grand Island Senior High. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock, is when the Kearney Little League plays on ESPN. Within the next 90 minutes, Jordan Burroughs wrestles for the gold, and tomorrow morning at 7:30, Tervell Delognev begins his quest for the gold. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.